that. I'm a terrible person. I respect a man taking that hat off and just launching it.
I'm mad at myself for being kind of disappointed that he didn't commit. I try not to let 18-year-old recruits impact my day.
We've had a couple requests to get Blake Morgan on, try to track down some recruiting people. It's a busy day. I feel bad trying to get them away from their job. He says he's good, though. I'm going to give him the call in.
Didn't Blake tell us that he felt good about Quay Walker?
I think people felt good about Quay Walker until yesterday. I mean, I do think that kind of was the feeling. We put the bat signal out for Blake to get an update. I got checkmated, by the way, during the commercial break by Jimmy Sparks. It says, aren't all pictures of dinosaurs photoshopped since there were no cameras then? He got me. We have no real pictures of dinosaurs. They're all photoshopped.
Well,
so your fish, I mean, it just, you never know. Maybe it was a I got checkmated.
Some of them look faker than others, though. I think I understand what you mean. Apparently, there was another one called the Dunkleosteus. You ever heard of him?
Uh-uh.
He was, oh, that was one of the fish. What an ugly creature.
I'm mad. All right, let's go bring Blake Morgan on. Blake Morgan, thanks so much for making time. He is an SEC analyst for SEC Country. Blake, so far, any huge surprises as far as you're concerned when it comes to Tennessee's recruiting class, the SEC's recruiting class, anything caught your eye?
I mean, well, of course, you know, what just happened, I'm sure y'all have been talking about it, is Quay Walker choosing Georgia. I mean, it certainly felt like it was going that way from late last night into this morning. I don't know if y'all watched the feed of him, but he put on the Tennessee hat and then threw it aside. It revealed that he was wearing all Georgia clothes. That one hurts for the recruiting class.
I hate how much I respected that, Blake. I hate how much that I enjoyed the idea of a recruit doing that. I wish it was the opposite. Think about how much we would have loved it if it was a Tennessee guy doing that.
He would come in as a legend, right? But yeah, I mean, while you know, I on Monday I was on. I said I still expected Tennessee to get Quay, and I mean, you know, right? Then on Monday it looked like that was going to happen. You know, Georgia was able to capitalize on the momentum of the official visit over the weekend, and we're able to close the deal. And I mean, you know, I tweeted out. I mean, you know, there's always going to be ways to spin it, but I mean, there's no way to slice it. I mean, that one hurts that Tennessee was the leader for him for a little while, and even just a few days ago, and to come up short at a position where Tennessee's been pretty weak the past few years at linebacker, and with the new system, that's going to be so important. Yeah, you know, that one's, it's disappointing to have him go elsewhere.
Now all attention, or most of the attention, for me at least, turns to keeping J.J. Peterson. Does the Quay Walker commitment to Georgia, does it affect that at all, in your opinion? Or is Tennessee still looking like they'll hold off Alabama for J.J. Peterson?
I still believe J.J. Peterson's going to choose Tennessee. You know, of course, yeah, Alabama's coming hard, but, you know, Peterson was committed to Tennessee long before Quay Walker, you know, really started picking up steam to the Vols. I mean, he committed on January 6th before he even took an official visit to Knoxville, and that was because of his relationship with Jeremy Pruitt. Until he signs elsewhere, I'm going to continue to believe that, you know, Nick Saban did not have enough time to build that relationship and that trust with Peterson in, you know, a short amount of time, and that will ultimately be the deciding factor and will keep him going to Rocky Top.
What do the commitments that Alabama with Surtain and the other guy they got, I forgot names.
Eddie Smith.
Yeah, does that open anything up for Tennessee's chances with a couple guys? Does that affect that at all?
Yeah, Patrick Surtain and Eddie Smith committed to Alabama, which is what I predicted on Monday on your show, which effectively, which gives Alabama five cornerbacks, which effectively takes them out of the Isaac Taylor Stewart running. Now it'll be interesting to watch what USC does. USC lost a defensive commitment, I believe yesterday or either late Monday, which might open up more space for their class, which was a surprise and was not what I was anticipating. But if they pick up a few more defensive prospects, I don't think that there will be room for Taylor Stewart, and I think he will be a Tennessee Vol. An interesting thing on Taylor Stewart's Instagram today, he put a video of him walking around in a Tennessee shirt. So, of course, I mean, that, you know, could
all right, Blake, mean Blake, absolutely Blake, let me stop yeah. you there. After what Quay Walker just did with the Tennessee
yeah,
hat, I'm not going to get excited about the Tennessee shirt that Taylor Stewart's wearing.
And wasn't he wearing a Nebraska?
Someone said he was wearing a Nebraska hat.
Yeah, he did
Might
have a
just
Nebraska hat on.
Be a big conspiracy
too.
From all these prospects just to troll Tennessee. You got the hat, you got the shirt. Guards up when
that's
it comes
true.
To the hat and the shirt.
That's completely fair. Completely fair. But yeah, so Alabama is effectively out of the running for him, but USC is still, I would say, the main threat. I mean, that it would be a bad look if I believe if he goes to Nebraska. If he leaves California and doesn't choose Tennessee, I think that would be a bad look for the Vols. But if you want some positive news, there is legitimate fear in Florida that Copeland is not going to sign with the Gators and that Tennessee is making a really late push. Jeremy Pruitt was on ESPNU today talking with Chris Lowe. And he and I don't have the exact wording, but basically it was a subtle, you know, like, hey, we came in late for a bunch of guys, and, you know, we're a dark horse because we've come in late, but we've done a good job with a couple of guys that are going to sign today. Meaning, you know, he might be a little, he has some thought that maybe Copeland is going to Tennessee, so that'll be one to watch. I think that should happen, I believe, in the next 2 hours on ESPNU is Jacob Copeland's commitment. Dan Mullen historically does not finish well on signing day at Mississippi State. Many thought Florida would be kind of a difference with that, but they've struck out on some people, like Caleb Tanner went elsewhere. And so, I don't know, there appears to be a glimmer of hope that Tennessee might be able to sign the wide receiver Jacob Copeland.
So Dan Mullen, not a good closer. That's what I'm picking up on. He can't close the deal.
To me, though, like, you're in a different weight class right now. When you're at Mississippi State, you're at Mississippi State.
It's
when you're
true.
In Florida,
no,
you are officially
absolutely.
Like a heavyweight, right? Like, so we'll see how he closes in this class because, like I said, I do think it's harder to hold people off at Mississippi State and close than it will be at Florida. All right, so as Blake puts it, you got J.J. Peterson in 1 and 2 p.m., Jacob Copeland apparently is scheduled for 2 p.m., and then you got Isaac Taylor Stewart at 5:15 p.m. So Tennessee's still okay, trending upwards. You know, still you can be a little positive about, or I guess optimistic about how this day could finish, according to Blake. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's still chances out there, right? You know, obviously holding on to Peterson will be big. Taylor Stewart, they're obviously, you know, still a chance. There, Tyon Palmer is another cornerback that's committing this afternoon. That is between Tennessee and NC State.
2 p.m. I think is that right on Tyon Palmer? Maybe
2 p.m. for Palmer.
Maybe
yeah,
it was 2
p.m.
After that.
It was either he changed it up the other day, so I'm having trouble remembering. It's either
yeah.
2 or 3. I believe 2 is probably right. And then Copeland. So still a couple of big names out there that Tennessee can get. But, yeah, you know, it's I don't know. Maybe getting a little concerned when, you know, the Vols offered Joseph Norwood this morning, who's a safety from Chattanooga, who is a really athletic dude, but, I mean, he's 6'1", 170 pounds. So, you know, clearly not.
Appreciate your time, brother. I know you're busy today. We're over capacity here inside Quaker Steak. I think it's slowing down our connection a little bit. Follow Blake Morgan, Blake Morgan SEC on Twitter. He's doing a great job keeping everybody up to date. Blake, appreciate you making 10 minutes for us. Good luck the rest of the day. We'll get to you in a couple days and kind of reset when the dust settles. Appreciate the time.
Come hang out with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for
having me. Yeah, the offer for us to buy you some beer still stands on the table. We'll be out here until 6 or 7 o'clock.
Awesome. Thank you all.
See you, Blake. Blake Morgan, SECCountry.com. All right. I feel a little bit better. A little bit better, a little bit of perspective. Yeah, you missed out on Quay Walker, but Blake's not backing down from his proclamation that Isaac Taylor Stewart heavily in play for Tennessee. Said he feels good about Isaac Taylor Stewart to Tennessee. That would be a good close of the day. Jacob Copeland, you see people getting nervous about him in Florida. Could he pick Tennessee? And then, of course, J.J. Peterson. If you can get those three guys, it's still a really successful day. I don't think you're going to get Elijah Griffin. I think that's over. I think if maybe January 2nd or 3rd or whenever he was here, the 7th, you could have nabbed him.
Yeah.
But the extra month allowed USC, I think, to just come in, lock him down from you. But those other three guys, and maybe if you could get a surprise somewhere, you'd be okay.
Yeah, and the fact that you've already got Peterson, if you don't lose him, I think you feel good about bringing in – if you could bring in somebody like Copeland, I think I might even take an offensive playmaker like Copeland, Quay Walker at this point, since you've already got a linebacker. That's assuming Peterson doesn't go somewhere else.
Yes, assuming Peterson doesn't go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I do think you need either – I mean, you got to get one of these wide receivers, though. You got to get Copeland. I prefer Copeland to Young.
Copeland does seem a little bit, you know –
just having an emotional breakdown.
What's the word you used? Are they schizophrenic?
Yeah.
I mean, he seems a little emotional. I hope he's okay.
He's torn. This guy's stressed out. Like, we'll see how it finishes. It'd be nice if you could keep Jordan Young. Keep him, I use loosely, because, you know, people think that he might have flipped to Florida State. He put Florida State in his bio.
So, theoretically, Tennessee could still land. Keep Peterson. They could still land Isaac Taylor Stewart, Jordan Young, Jacob Copeland, and Elijah Griffin. Still, everything's on the table.
I don't think you're going to get Elijah Griffin. I have zero optimism with that. I just don't think you're getting a Southern Cal kid, son of Warren G, to come leave Los Angeles.
It's all on the table.
It's on the table. I just don't like the way it's sitting on the table.
Well, what about the other ones? Let me give you Copeland.
There's still the four-star JUCO tackle, Emmett Gooden. Although I was told during the break by someone who's plugged in with recruiting that right now Tennessee really searching the JUCO cornerback.
Oh, that's good.
So that doesn't make me feel good about Elijah Griffin or Isaac Taylor Stewart. It tells me to remain optimistic. I'll remain optimistic. I just know that they're really looking for some JUCO cornerbacks right now.
All right, let me give you four names: J.J. Peterson, Jacob Copeland, Isaac Taylor Stewart, and Jordan Young. How many does Tennessee get out of those four?
Ugh.
Can they get two?
I mean, two feels like a win at this point.
To keep Peterson and maybe land.
Yeah, maybe two feels like it's. I don't know.
Maybe you get three.
Three would be great.
Three would be. I'd be. Yeah, of course.
Oh, man, we're at Quaker Steak and Lube. Come out, see us. A quick lube lunch. They can get you in and out, guaranteed. They'll have your food out to you in 15 minutes, or your next lunch is on them. But I don't want you to come in, get out. I want you to stay, hang out.
Yeah, and honestly, we got a heck of a crowd out here. Like, if
yeah, no, we might have to put you in the other room where you can kind of see us, but you won't really get to hang out with us.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're not here, honestly, you're missing out, though. I mean, look at this crowd. Look at all these people. Plus, we got room here at our table.
That's true. We do have where you can sit down, hang out with us. We got some overtime guys here: Brandon Orick, Lucas Panzica.
You can sit at the bar by Davey Hudson if you want.
You don't want to sit at the bar of Davey Hudson.
He's a little sick.
And he's just kind of weird in general.
Yeah. Nice guy.
We'll plug up a third mic. We'll get some other insight later in the show. Stay locked in right here. It's Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. now that we have a lull in the recruiting announcements, nothing expected until 1 p.m. We will be going from 1 to 2 today, bridging you into the drive, who will be going from 2 to 6. And now that we got a lull in the recruiting talk, although, by the way, did you see Cade Mays telling Quay Walker he made the right decision? Just twist the knife a little bit, too.
That's nice.
Just just two guys who want to stick it to Tennessee, apparently.
That's nice to see.
Taking a break from that, though, did you see the report yesterday about LeBron James and the Cavs?
The one that with the trade deadline, all that stuff?
Well, there's been a couple. The Athletic. Are you familiar with The Athletic? It's the big collection of writers behind the paywall or whatever.
The new publication.
I can never bring myself to subscribe to it. I need to.
I've heard they do really good work.
No, I wanted to read this article. I just knew that it would end up somewhere else, though, and then Bleacher Report came and aggregated it, which I thought was kind of frowned upon in the industry. But either way, reports coming out of serious discord between LeBron James and the Cavs front office. LeBron James cursed towards at least two team executives during the late January meeting when everyone was saying that Kevin Love was faking it, you know, when they were asking whether or not he's actually sick, and said that the Cavs have been noticeably pivoting away from James's recommendations. Basically, it outlines, like, LeBron James didn't want to trade Kyrie Irving. He said, let's bring Kyrie to camp. Let's see if we can make it work. I don't want to lose Kyrie. And the Cavs, led by owner Dan Gilbert, who has now reportedly taken control back of the roster, said, nope, we're good. We're making this trade against LeBron's wishes. On one hand, like, it's signing your death warrant as a franchise to an extent, right, to alienate your franchise. But on the other hand, LeBron's a little bit culpable here because he wouldn't commit.
Yeah, I would say so. What's up, man?
Troy dropping in. I went for the handshake. He was going for the fist bump because I'm a fist bump guy. So then it was awkward. So then I tried to go fist bump, and then he went handshake, and then he pulled the alpha move on me and made me hold out the hand. Packed house here at Quaker Steak and Lube.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's partly LeBron's fault because he wouldn't tell Dan Gilbert what he wanted to do next year. But on the other hand, like, I just don't think it's smart business to go against your franchise's wishes, and when we all know that LeBron James is the franchise there. But yeah, reportedly a shouting match, cursing. They're moving on. There's quote unquote no relationship with Dan Gilbert or general manager Kobe Altman with LeBron James. They've just completely basically cut out any influence he has over that roster, probably outside Dwayne Wade, because they probably did him a favor by bringing in his boy D. Wade. But growing discord between LeBron and the Cavs. Yesterday after the game, they blew another one. Did you see what happened to them last night?
They lost last night.
They were up 20 points and ended up losing, I think, by 16 to the Magic.
Really?
Yeah. They went from 20 up to down 16. It was the largest loss in LeBron's career after being up 20 points. Like, it was historic in that regard. They lost to the Magic.
A 36-point swing against the Magic. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, the Orlando Magic, you know, they
pesky team.
Pretty pesky.
Pesky team.
Hey, by the way, Georgia just landed another 4-star receiver. Tommy Bush. He just committed to Georgia.
That sounds made up.
He's a four. No, it's real. He's a 4-star receiver. He just went to Georgia. Is there anybody they haven't signed yet?
Stop. I'm not talking about
okay,
it again.
Okay. Sorry.
Not till 1 o'clock. We'll get an update at 1 o'clock. I'm not talking about recruiting until one, unless something really breaks for Tennessee in their way. They lost by 18 points, by the way.
Oh, some things are breaking. That's for sure.
Outscored. What is this? 65-31 in the second half by the Magic.
Yeah.
65-31.
How do you let that happen against the Magic?
65-31.
I guess you saw what Isaiah Thomas said, right?
No, what Isaiah Thomas said.
About how
when things go bad, they just quit, basically.
When adversity hits, we go our separate directions.
Yeah, they're about to send a separate direction for Isaiah, too. They're going to send him his own way, too.
I don't know how they saved this thing.
That's what I've been saying for a month, and everyone kept saying, oh, you know, it's okay. It's the Cavs. They'll figure it out. Like, they're broken. I don't know how they fix it.
Yeah, I mean, they need to get the lifeboats ready. This ship, it's the bottom few compartments have already filled up. I mean, this thing's starting to sink.
LeBron came out and said he would not waive his no-trade clause. Basically, like, you're not trading me. You're not trading me, which seems stubborn, but he's like, I'm not giving up on my team. I'm not going somewhere else. Prideful, I guess. But that doesn't mean he won't trade Isaiah. They need to do something, though. Last night feels, I don't want to say rock bottom, but it feels close. It feels close to rock bottom for the Cavs. They're only 30-22, 11-15 on the road. They're not a good basketball team. They don't do really anything well. Their offense has struggled. I think since January 1st, I believe, they are the second worst team in the league per net rating. Like, they're the only team they're better than are the Phoenix Suns.
Good Lord.
That's it.
That bad?
No, man, it's awful.
Yeah, the Lakers. Lakers kill them right now, right?
Right now? Probably.
Yeah.
The Lakers have won, I think, 11 of 15. They win again last night. The Lakers might have a better surrounding supporting cast than saying, oh, what do the Lakers have to compete? Roster than the Cavs right now. They might have a better roster than the Cavs right now. Love the report of the okay, LeBron, enough of you. I'm not listening to anything else you say. I'm doing things my way. I do think there's something interesting maybe in the works over the next year or so, because about 3 weeks ago, Dan Gilbert said he wanted to sell the Cavs. You would think LeBron James would be interested in buying the Cavs, right? Like, maybe not as a player, like while he's still active, but he said he wants to be a team owner someday. And you think that there's one way to tank the value of a franchise, right? That's LeBron leaving and the Cavs just becoming really bad. I'm picturing a world where LeBron leaves, the Cavs are left with absolutely nothing, they stink, and then LeBron helps put together like an ownership group that goes out and buys them from Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
Like, he just completely crashes the asset and then goes in and buys it at his cheapest rate.
You think he would leave and go somewhere else before he did that?
Yeah.
Like, go play somewhere else for a couple more
years? You'd have to go play and let them really become a dumpster fire and become relatively worthless in the sense of an NBA franchise.
Because
and then
the price would be too high right now?
Because, I mean, if LeBron's on the team, it's a big asset.
Yeah, but, I mean, if he wasn't on the team and he wanted to buy the team, the value would go down.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. He can manipulate the price.
Plus, he can't be done playing yet.
No, he's still got another 3 or 4 years at least.
Yeah, I would think so. It's like Brady.
Last night in the NBA as well, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
They're looking good right now, aren't they?
Went to Golden State, beat them by 20. Draymond ejected, tempers flared, and Russell Westbrook was pretty dominant last night. No triple-double, but 34 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. The Thunder, I'd like to see them go out and get them a Marcus Smart or another wing defender since they lost their best one. But Paul George playing well. Looks like he's going to be comfortable being Westbrook's number two. I'm beginning to think that Paul George is staying in Oklahoma City.
You know, the Warriors seem to be showing a little susceptibility. Like, they got beat down by the Jazz, just a week or two ago.
Well, that's the thing that people, you know, that assume that these teams just fix themselves. Like, you know, with the Cavs, everyone's like, oh, they'll fix themselves. But the Warriors, you know, they've been to 3 straight finals. You do get tired from that. Like, Jordan never made more than 3 straight finals in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, he took a break in between. I get that. And he retired at the end of the streak. But like Steve Kerr said, you know, many times, even if Jordan didn't leave, we were kind of out of gas. Like, we were tired just from all the extra games. The thing that makes the Warriors susceptible this year, Cody, is that they wanted to keep the band together, right?
Right.
And they re-upped and they paid Iguodala a lot of money, and he's fallen off a cliff. He's not nearly as effective as he was the last 3 to 4 years. Same as Sean Livingston. They kept him together as the backup point guard. They paid him big money. He's not as good. Their young guys haven't taken the step forward. You know, they're not as deep as in the past. And I keep saying it. I 100% believe that the Rockets – would be my pick to come out of the West right now. Like, I do believe that. Like,
that would be your legitimate pick.
Just teams don't get to the finals 4 years in a row. Like, they just don't. Like, that's not something that usually happens. Now, LeBron's been able to do it, what, how many times? Six years in a row? Is that what he's at right now?
Yeah.
How many times they get there in a row with the Heat? Four times? Do they get there four times in a row? Dallas, well, Oklahoma City, and then the Spurs twice?
Yeah, because there was four with the Heat, and then he went back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And that's been
he just keeps it rolling. So he's been there seven times in a row. But for the most part, these championship teams don't just live in the finals. They do cycle down a little bit, and I do think
doesn't that show you how good LeBron is too? Though
I know. Also that he's smart, because the Heat weren't going to get back that next year probably.
People get so
they were on fumes, and he went and got a fresh roster with Kyrie and Kevin Love, and said, "Yeah, we'll get there this way." Because I don't think that Heat team probably would have gotten back the way the Spurs blew them out the last couple games in that finals. I feel like they were dead.
People get so caught up with Michael Jordan, like they don't appreciate, I think, how good LeBron is. Whether you want to have that, you know, that conversation of comparing the two, you don't have to. Like, just look at the fact LeBron's been to seven straight. I mean, that is insane. How good you have to be to do that. I mean, the East obviously hasn't been, you know, overwhelming.
You know, we said that after he came back from 3-1 down to beat that Warriors team that won 73 games, A, that he was bulletproof, which hasn't really worked out and stayed that way because, you know, the haters are kind of back out. But B, that was like his greatest accomplishment. I almost feel like dragging this corpse of a team to the finals would be his greatest accomplishment. At least in his top three. Like, I know taking that team in 06, I guess it was 07 when they got swept by the Spurs, that was their second best player was Zydrunas Ilgauskas and like Eric Snow. They had nobody. They beat a good Pistons team that was also kind of tired.
At this point, it's not going to happen, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he can just turn that switch and take this team to the finals, it would be in the top three of his accomplishments. It would just kind of blow my mind. It would be more impressive than the championship he beat the Thunder with. Probably be more impressive than when they beat the Spurs, to me.
Because you said they're the second worst team in the NBA right now, right? I mean, statistically.
Yeah.
So
over a month and a week.
Yeah, to go from that to getting to the finals, I mean, and you'd have to beat Boston in seven. I mean, that would be an insane accomplishment, I think, with this team.
We'll see what happens. 865-546-8200. Limited seating available out here where we're at Quaker Steak and Lube, but the inside, oh, it's got plenty of tables. Come by and see us. We'll be out here till 8, 9 o'clock.
Be here all day.
We're programming till at least 8. I don't know how long we'll be able to make it, you and I.
It depends on how many lube tubes they can
gather up. I think the last hour to deal with the pain, we got to start firing up these LITs.
No, that's happening.
I think that's the plan. Come by, see us. We'll be out here. We're at Quaker Steak and Lube, Kingston Pike, home of the $6.99 quick lube lunch, guaranteed in 15 minutes, or your lunch is on us. 60-cent wings right here as well. Let's talk sports.
Net.
Rolling right your lunchtime hour. If you're looking for somewhere to eat, come eat with us. Can't promise it'll be a celebration, but we will sit here together. People still mad about what Quay Walker did. If you are just joining us, if you're sneaking out for lunch, picked up a Tennessee hat, got everyone excited, threw it down.
Taryn J. Sports tweets, a man offers you a free college education, continually tells you how much he'd love the opportunity to coach and mentor you, and how do you thank him? By hurling a hat representing his school halfway across the state. The disrespect from today's generation is appalling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going that far. Some people are mad.
No, I know.
And I got mad because I got duped on air, and I got excited, only to be heartbroken.
Well, he did put the hat on.
You're putting yourself a target on your back. Got a tweet coming in saying if Tennessee doesn't run a play to get him on a crackback block next year against Georgia, then they don't want Jeremy Pruitt as his coach.
Well, I'd be cool with that.
Appreciate everyone who has came by and seen us talk some New England Patriots. Indianapolis Colts, the rivalry back on. Did a quick update of LeBron James' situation in the NBA. The Deadpool trailer came out. Deadpool 2 You like Deadpool?
I actually watched that movie. That's the guy in the red suit, right? Kind of looks like Spider-Man without the webs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I did like that movie. I remember that being a decent movie.
The trailer for Deadpool 2 came out. It looks pretty fantastic. Did you see the contract details? Did you see the story that came, you know, kind of resurfaced yesterday about Derrick Rose's shoe contract?
No.
Back in 2012, you know, Derrick Rose was the king of the NBA, kind of, right? He was kind of the darling. He was the next big superstar. He signed one of the richest shoe contracts ever.
Yeah, before he started getting hurt every year.
Before he started getting hurt every year. 14 years, $185 million, right?
Yep.
Sports Illustrated ran a deep dive into this contract, one of the details of it. He'll get retainers of $12 million per season from 2012 through 2017. He will get $11 million this year. He gets royalties up to $6.25 million per year, $5 million in annual appearance fees, and use of a private jet. There's also details, and this is the best part. Derrick in the Homeboy Hall of Fame. His older brother, $150,000 to $300,000 per year as a consultant. So he worked into his $184 million contract. Adidas is also going to pay my brother somewhere between $250,000 to $300,000 per year just to be a consultant.
His actual brother?
Yeah.
$250,000 to $300,000?
Yes, just to be a consultant.
What is a consultant for a shoe contract? I mean, what?
I don't know. That's why he's in
Hey, let me pick out these laces for you.
That's why he belongs in the Homeboy Hall of Fame. But also, that's not it. His best friend since sixth grade, Randall Hampton, gets paid between $50,000 and $75,000 annually for his consulting services.
What does he do? You need two guys to pick out your shoelaces? What is he doing?
I don't know.
Is he shining them?
I don't know what he's doing.
Polishing them up?
He's kicked back, drawing in a nice salary for the next 15 years because his best friend got really good at basketball.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be cool if you had a best friend who just became really good at something like that?
Yeah.
They just take care of you.
Although I don't know if my friends would be smart enough to work it in the contract that I get paid for doing nothing.
I mean, Derrick Rose obviously very good to his friends.
Homeboy Hall of Fame.
Homeboy Hall of Fame indeed. Good man.
We didn't get to talk much about it, but the report that as Derrick Rose took his sabbatical from the Cavs, as he was finding himself and contemplating retirement, there was a report that he went out and got married and went like on a honeymoon.
Who's this?
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose went and got married?
This year, like when he left the Cavs. There was a time he was gone from the Cavs for like a month.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that.
And he went out and got married. And then the Cavs opened him, you know, welcomed him back with open arms, put him back in the lineup, just compared to what they were doing with Kevin Love, who was sick and missing time, and they were questioning the validity of that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Derrick Rose was able to get married and go on a honeymoon, and Kevin Love couldn't miss practice because he was sick.
Yeah. Poor Kevin Love.
I just love the NBA and the absurdity that comes with it.
Nobody likes Kevin Love.
Do you want something to feel better about right now?
Yeah. I mean, I feel fine, but I'll take something else, I guess. Always like a good kick of positive energy.
Let's get a little quick of positive energy. Let's feel better about our situation here at Tennessee.
Okay.
When you're comparing to some other hires made this offseason, Arizona State ranked number 76 in the country in recruiting right now.
With Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards, 76th in the country.
Yeah, he's kind of like Gruden, right? He didn't think he was going to have to recruit. Didn't really know what it was going to be about.
Didn't think he was going to have to call the mothers of prospects and convince them too.
I remember that story where he was talking about, he's like, I just didn't know this was a thing. Didn't know I was going to have to do all this kind of stuff.
76th in the country. They have 13 commitments.
Nice.
So, I mean, there's a little positive news to feel better. Tennessee's beaten Herm Edwards at least.
Yeah, it's good to be on a better level than Arizona State, I guess. I guess that's where we're at.
865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. We'll get to overrated, underrated next. Back at the studio. Overrated, underrated next. Coming up live from Quaker Steak and Lube.
Got a tax...
Time to play some overrated, underrated. Live from Quaker Steak and Lube, Ben Lee, hit the music.
Overrated, very overrated.
It's overrated.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm gonna tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right, guys, how's it going over there at Quaker Steak? You ready to play some overrated? You ready to play some overrated, underrated?
We are ready to play some overrated, underrated.
Are you lonely, Ben?
No, I got intern Matt over here across from me. I've been trying to teach him a little bit about the board.
Shout out to Mark. Good guy.
Oh, hi, Mark.
All right, so first up on overrated, underrated, let's go with Coach Calipari.
Calipari, I still feel like he's a little underrated. Like, I know that him, and I know that, like, you know, he rolls out five stars every year and he doesn't win titles and all that stuff. He gets to the Final Four, though. Coach Cal gets to the Final Four. I think the hate always goes a little bit too far because people don't like him because they feel like he's slimy, right? You feel like Coach Calipari's slimy. But I think he was just kind of ahead of the curve with the one and done because obviously Duke's doing it. Everyone's trying to do it. He just got there first. I don't know how Kentucky fans feel today. But I think Coach Cal still underrated. Four Final Fours at Kentucky. That's pretty stout.
I mean, I know it's hard in the NCAA tournament to actually win a title. But I got to go with a little bit overrated. I think, if anything, he's properly rated because he's regarded as one of the best, you know, a handful, I mean, top five, one of the best coaches in college basketball. So I'd go overrated. I would lean toward that side just with the talent that he's had. And to only have one title in that period of time, you're looking at this being his, what, ninth season at Kentucky? And the only title is the 2011-2012 one, so...
If you're judging by titles, I'll give you that. I'll say that usually in college basketball, I judge by Final Fours. And four in 9 years, pretty stout.
Yeah, I mean, it is so hard, I think, with a 64 or 68 team tournament now. Like,
yeah,
it is hard to make that run and get an actual title.
I believe it's six Elite Eights in 8 years.
Yeah, that would be right. The only time he hasn't
was the year they missed the tournament and the year they lost to Indiana, right?
There was, second
round?
The round of 32.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then the year they went to the NIT in 2012.
Next topic.
All right, guys. Next up, we got the Duke North Carolina basketball game.
I will go with underrated for the Duke Carolina basketball game. And I've never been to it, but I just everything that I've heard, I mean, watching on TV is one thing. Obviously the atmosphere looks incredible, especially when it's at Cameron Indoor. I've always been told it's the best rivalry in sports by a lot of people, that, you know, it's even better than Auburn Alabama in football or Michigan Ohio State. I've been told when you're ranking rivalries, a lot of people go number one with that one. I've never been to it, so it's hard for me to say firsthand, but based on the passion, all that kind of stuff, especially when it's played at Duke, I'll say it's underrated.
I got to go overrated. It was something I loved when I was a kid. I bought into the mystique of it. Really, for me, the last time I cared about it was J.J. Redick. When J.J. Redick was there and Sean May and McCants and stuff were there for Carolina, and you had the 3 or 4 year guys and you kind of felt that rivalry heat up I guess maybe a little bit when Gerald Henderson busted Hansborough open. That was cool, and he's just got blood streaming down his face. But I will – the one and done that we talked about with Calipari has kind of hurt that rivalry when it comes to me. I don't live in Carolina. I've never, like, lived the rivalry. I just know for me – it used to be appointment television. Now I don't even watch, so I got to go overrated.
I still like to watch it. I would like to go to a Duke UNC game. That's one of those bucket list kind of games, I think. I mean, if you're talking college basketball, it's got to be number one.
No, I enjoy, just personally, like the last 5 or 6 years, I've enjoyed Louisville versus Kentucky more. And quite frankly, I've enjoyed Xavier versus Cincinnati more. Like, those guys,
Duke,
like, fight.
Duke and UNC?
Those guys fight when they're together. There's not fights between Duke and Carolina unless I'm missing something in a long time.
You like, know, one that a lot of people I know want to see is Kansas and Mizzou. That's a pretty nasty rivalry.
Yep.
I'd like to see that again.
Like when Xavier and Cincinnati get together, like Mick Cronin's always trying to get in fights with the Xavier players. Like there's always real beef between those guys. They're in the same city.
Does anybody really watch that, though?
I don't know. Maybe it was just from when I lived in Cincinnati, like just living that rivalry up there.
You felt it more up there, probably.
It felt like there was real hatred and disdain for each other. Like I said, they shared the same city. So to me, like I enjoy watching that rivalry more and Louisville, Kentucky. I always enjoy that one more. Maybe that one will go down a little bit since Patino's gone. But I have to say, overrated for the Duke-Carolina rivalry.
All right, guys. Next up, in honor of the day, God's recruiting sources.
I'd like to have a word with the big guy. Although he was duped. Maybe when he was telling us yesterday that Quay Walker was coming to Tennessee, maybe all he got to was the hat getting put on, and he didn't see the devil convince him to throw it off. Right?
Yeah. I think his foresight, he saw the hat going on, and he just kind of assumed, and he didn't really check it out. And that is a mistake on his part. But, you know, he's right a lot of the times. He's a good guy. Usually pretty good about this kind of stuff. I'll allow God a mistake on this one.
And sometimes God's greatest gift are unanswered prayers.
All right, guys, next up, how about edible arrangements?
The hell are edible arrangements?
Is that like what did we go on?
What guys? Are edible arrangements?
It's like you get like a basket and they like it's food and it looks
so
good.
Somebody brings like a fruit, a strawberry basket with food.
Well, it's like designed to like look like stuff.
So instead of getting somebody flowers, you just bring them chocolate strawberries, right?
Right.
Okay.
Which, to be fair, is much better than flowers.
Well, seeing how I didn't have them really rated at all, I got to go underrated, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm not a huge strawberry guy.
Well, you can get other.
I'm looking at these. All I did was Google edible arrangements.
You're just looking at the images?
I'm looking at the images, and these look gross.
They put on a pretty good show with them. It's fresh fruit.
I've changed my mind. I'm going overrated.
These
look disgusting. Can you not just bring me a box of... Instead of getting me an edible arrangement, can you get me a pack of Oreos, some Reese's, and maybe some Chips Ahoy? Can we just do that?
You can't say you'd rather have that package garbage over this edible arrangement.
I just said it.
But look at the effort they put into these, though.
Yeah, can you just put some effort in to get me something that tastes good?
What, you don't think chocolate-covered strawberries taste good?
I think I'd rather have a pack of Hershey's or a pack of Reese's.
For what?
To eat.
A pack of Hershey's, just Hershey's chocolate?
Yeah.
It's so boring. It's dull. It's just... Yeah, it's fine.
Yummy.
It's fine. Like a tenth on a power ranking of chocolates, but
overrated. Very overrated.
I'm going
edible arrangements.
Chocolate covered fruit is always a good.
Something I don't like is when people go above and beyond, but don't really like make the product better. You're trying so hard to make it look good. Just give me something that tastes good. Put your effort into getting me something I like. Can we do that instead?
I don't understand your hatred for edible arrangements.
I'm out on edible arrangements. Overrated. Very overrated.
You guys want one more?
Yeah.
Well, I got eight more.
Yeah, you're supposed to give us at least five. You've only given us four so far, so of course we want one more.
Sorry, sometimes it changes up. My bad. Okay, so last one. How about Beyonce?
Beyonce's properly rated. She's like a living legend, basically. I mean, she's been around forever. I mean, when she first came on the scene, what, early 2000s, mm-hmm. when she really got big, she's been kind of, I guess, stagnant since then. You know, she peaked. She had her peak time, but she's still consistently been a queen. You know what I mean? The queen, basically, since, you know, early 2000s. I mean,
she's overrated.
I don't think she's overrated.
You just called her the queen.
Well, is the queen overrated?
She's not even in top five of top 10 hits for female pop singers.
I'm not talking about hits.
Well, I'm just talking. Well, are we talking about looks? Because she's overrated there too.
No, she's not overrated.
You want to talk about looks. Queen? Not Beyonce. The queen's Rihanna in hits and looks.
Rihanna,
100%.
No, Beyonce.
Check out the top 100 pop hits. Rihanna lives there.
We're not talking about just hits.
Well, check out the looks.
No, there's more to it.
What is there?
Appeal, celebrity, the status. Beyonce, it's almost intangible. It's almost intangible. It's not. Yeah, it's not. It's nothing you can put a number on.
Sasha Fierce.
Beyonce beats Rihanna every.
If we're talking about acting, let's see. In Dreamgirls, she wasn't as good as Jennifer Hudson, so mark for overrated there. What else has she been in as an actress?
Nah, it's an intangible
Austin
thing.
Austin Powers.
She was King great. Panther. She was great in Austin Powers.
Yeah, she was. You're trying to point to specific examples.
I'm taking everything into account.
It's like an aura. She has a. It's Beyonce, man. It's Beyonce.
If you are the queen, you don't rely on intangibles.
Of course you do.
No.
Most queens all time were not that great.
I don't need my queens to have moral victories or have a really good personality. If you're going to call somebody queen, then you better be able to see it and hear it. And like I said, Rihanna, better looking. Rihanna, better songs.
Her songs are fine. I mean, Beyonce rolls off the tongue better than Rihanna. There's just more about.
What about Riri? Like, what about if you just shorten it to go with Riri?
There's more of a personality.
Think about Ric Flair. There is not more personality.
Ric Flair. You love Ric Flair, right?
Beyonce's bland when it comes to personality.
No, listen. Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. What would he be without the robe? You know what I mean? It's not like wearing a robe is a big deal. But it made him bigger than what he really was. You know what I mean?
I mean, I get what you're saying in that, but I don't know how that is attached to Beyonce.
Kurt Cobain, if he didn't die, would we think he's as great as he is?
Again, I don't know what that has in relation with Beyonce. Dying, she doesn't have a robe.
No, it's intangible, though.
Nah, I don't understand
what
you're talking about.
I'm sure she's got
robes. It does have a robe, but she's not known for the robe. I don't know what you just did there. She's overrated. Shout out to Rihanna. Queen, slay. Hour 3 in the books. Oh, damn it. We still got another hour. Although we are about to pick up with some recruiting news. Some guys set to make some announcements in hour 4. So don't go anywhere. Maybe Tennessee will get back on track with this signing day. We're live at Quaker Steak and Lube. Got a couple spots open at the bar. Come take advantage. Eat some lunch with us. We'll be back. Let's talk sports.
Hey, guys.